out of the world, where were they reading from? Genesis down to Malachi. Because they didn't have in their hands what they have as Bible was not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hope you're following me. What they have in their hands was not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Let's get to John. John 1. Hallelujah. John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says, same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was anything made that was made. He used that word in the beginning. He started out his writing. He went, and he goes to the beginning again. Beginning is Genesis. He said, in the beginning was the Word. Isn't that? I will look at that word, Dabar, right? The reason was the Dabar, the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. The reason was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you shouldn't lose sight of that. Hallelujah. You shouldn't lose sight of that. The reason was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he's writing from the Genesis. Okay, following me? Writing from the Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, they write from the Genesis just like Jesus and other writers and teachers of the New Testament books. Hallelujah. They will always read from the Genesis. Look at Jesus in Luke 24 from verses 25. He calls his disciples, O fools, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have said. He said, offer the Christ, 26, to suffer this sin and to enter into his glory. 27, he said, beginning at Moses. Look at that. Jesus is about to explain what has happened to him. He died. You know, it's just when you say, it is me, I died. Look at me now. Or you perceive my faith. It's me, Jesus, now. I don't write. You know, if you have been, you would think today, it's just good. Just write it. But take note. The things of God are not this. They are not this from our thoughts. Amen. Are not this. Amen. They have to be explained. The things of God have to be explained. So Jesus said, beginning at Moses. Moses is Genesis. And all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's what we looked at on the CRC. Right? He says, of not the Christ to suffer. So he started from Genesis. Down to Malachi. Jesus himself. Okay, follow me. Jesus himself. He started from Genesis down to Malachi. Okay, following me. Okay, following me. In verse 44, he showed up to Elijah's house, and then he said, these are the words that I spoke to you. While I was still with you, he said that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So Jesus was to talk about himself in the resurrection, and he's still reading from Genesis down to Malachi. Amen? In fact, when Jesus was walking the earth, in the incarnation, he never said any word. He never used any word out of the scriptures. I told us that Jesus never coined any word. The words he used are words from scriptures. Satan came tempting him. He used Deuteronomy. Okay, listen to me. Every word he used were from scriptures. Jesus is God, become a man, and yet he restricted himself towards scriptures. So it now becomes very fallacious when you find people saying, this thing cannot be found in this book. Who are you? Amen. Who are you? They say, this thing, what I'm showing you is revelation. It cannot be found in the 39 books. It cannot be found in the scriptures. Who made you an authority to say that? Amen. Even Jesus, God, restricted himself to the confines of scriptures. Who are you hearing me? Anybody that comes to tell you that this thing cannot be found in this book, cannot be found in the Bible, I got it directly from God, is a lie. Okay, hearing me. It's a lie. The Bible is the basis. Is the basis on how God communicates to us. Okay, hearing me. He must have a director in the world. We've not restricted the use of his word to how scripture uses it. Jesus will not see, we will use seed for the kingdom of God. That is how it is in the Old Testament books. What am I going to say? We must learn to restrict our use of words to how scripture uses words. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. Look at Paul. Paul in Romans 1. That's what I showed you. Paul writer of the New Testament book. Paul, Romans 1. In verse 1, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel of God. What? Which he had promised afore by his prophet in the Holy Scriptures. You see that? So you set your mind again to the Scriptures. Amen. Can you hear me? Amen. Glory to God. So, you take your mind again back to Scripture. Where were we? Okay, I said Paul. Look at what he said. He said, which was promised upon by the prophet. That you shouldn't get detached from where he's writing from, which is the 39 books. Hallelujah. Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. Obviously, and this is what I told you, that when they wrote the epistles, the writers of the epistles, when they wrote the epistles when they were away. Right? When they were away. But when they are with them, do they need an epistle? No, they would teach them. What are you following me? And what were they teaching them from? The scriptures. The scriptures. So a believer who doesn't read his Bible well is a believer who is walking in error. You can't know God outside the confines of scripture. Okay, hear me. Jesus is God who became a man to explain to man who God is. Yet he restricted himself, he restricted his explanation of God to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means the scripture tells us all about God. Not something, everything about God. So any fact about God that you can't find in the scriptures is not a fact about God. Okay, everybody. It's not a fact about God at all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not just the writers of the synoptic and the writers of the epistles alone. Every latter writer, especially when it comes to the Old Testament books now, I want to take it further. Every latter prophet in scriptures interpreted from a former prophet or from a previous prophet. Example, Daniel will read from Jeremiah. Do you see that? Daniel will read from Jeremiah. He will prophesy from Jeremiah. Isaiah will prophesy from Moses. Prophesy, you know. Amen. So they restricted their use of prophecy to the confines of scriptures. Amen. But today, someone will learn to prophesy. Your name is Hope. Because there is hope. Yeah, yes, sir. Man of God. And then, done. Now close down the mind and say, Major One. It's not the Major One. It's Minor 10. Prophet. Yeah, they're prophesying for us. Glory to God. Prophecy must be restricted to scripture. And I gave you prophecy. Hallelujah. False. The bend of the scripture. You know, come and tell somebody, your prophesying person is prophesying, say John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. The word will say, which kind of prophecy is this one? Is it reading scripture? No, that's prophecy. Amen. It's on the word. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I will prophesy right from Moses. Clear. Daniel right from Jeremiah. Clear. Sometimes when you read Isaiah, you would think, and he's giving a prophecy, you think he's speaking in verbatim from Moses. That's prophecy now. Amen. Because he has read Moses. Right? And then he's now prophesying from Moses. Hallelujah. That's a prophecy. to avoid his own scripture. Obey Aaron. Obey Aaron. What do you want? What do you want? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, that's it. Let's just continue. That's it. We said the origin of words will be where? Where's the origin of words? The 39 books, right? Genesis down to Malachi. Do you agree with that? Right? Therefore, if the origin of words is from there, we therefore said that implies that the latter writers or interpreters, Isaiah will not call Moses verbatim, but he will use what is called shorthand. Right? So every latter prophet or every latter interpreter will use what is called shorthand and expect it to go back to read where they were reading from. Right? To read where they were prophesying from. And reading where they were prophesying from, you have to apply the cultural connotation of words. Is that it? Is that it? Do you understand that? You have to apply the cultural connotation of words. Glory to God. Hallelujah. From the 39 books. So, that's very important. Find the cultural connotation of what within that 9 books. And when you have to look at that, you have to read critically, making you see that Bible study is not free time. Bible study is not free time. It's not free, how do people even call it? SMS. Bible study. You are studying your Bible. And then, you are doing 10 things at a time. You say you are studying your Bible. No. Bible study calls for labor. What are you hearing? It calls for serious labor. Therefore, Bible study is a time to labor. Labor well. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at how Paul puts it. So Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show yourself approved to God. He said, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. He said, study to show thyself approved. Now, he used that word study there, spodizo. Now, that word study there means to be studious. To be studious. To give yourself, spodizo. To apply yourself. Hallelujah. So, Bible study implies you have to apply yourself. You give yourself to it. You give yourself to it. Some people just do Bible study for 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I have a friend like that in the morning, he just carry Bible, cover himself with blanket. 2 minutes is out. What kind of Bible study is that? Now go Bible study. You see, Bible study is worship. Therefore, how I carry and take out Bible study is important. Amen. You must give room, time to study your word. To study the word. You're going to have God is well. Proper Bible study. Hallelujah. Say, study so that they've approved. Say, a worker. Now, do you know what worker there is? The word egotist. Used for a laborer. So, Bible study is labor. It's labor. Not as I was taking my bath, the word dropped. And that's the word for the now. That's the word for today. Did you see how Chelsea came back from 2-0 to 2-2? They'll be coming back for you. They'll be coming back. What kind of nonsense is that? Is that preaching? Is that preaching? For what people you are calling Chelsea? My team, we are Chelsea. Lead table. What? You don't know? Lead table. God! He won't call in my dream. Calling Chelsea. Keep quiet. Hallelujah. Amen. Keep quiet. They're coming back. They're coming back for you. They're coming back for you. See how I love the man of God. When he was talking, he was resonating with me. Well, they're coming back for you. That was what the word that dropped. The word that dropped. Amen. How do you like that? They're coming back. Lord, how just came back. They're coming back. God is making substitutions in your life. Like who? Pochettino. You are a joker. Yeah? A joker. How do you say that? You're a joker. That's what you don't say. But it sounds nice. Hey, the application might not be there. I mean, no, but the punishment not there, but the that sounds nice. Somebody just watched Chelsea match and is having a word from Chelsea match. It's inspiration. You'll be crying for your pastor. Amen? She'll be crying and weeping and praying. And your pastor should be keeper. What kind of nonsense is that? Getting inspiration from football. Amen? You know that? Stop it. No matter how I like ball, to the point I like ball too, you can't get inspiration. You must understand it. Amen. Amen. You have to study. Bible study is labor. Tell somebody, Bible study is labor. Labor. So you must learn how to study, because you can't be a good teacher without first being a good student. And a good student must be a good leader. What those people who are good students or who are good students in school? They're not like some people. The only time they remember their textbook is 1 week to exam, they begin to read, looking for AAC. Those are not serious students. But the real serious students have finished all the New General Mathematics, first term New General Mathematics before the first term started. They've gone ahead. They are reading ahead. Those are serious good students. Amen? Good students are the ones that don't break. They're not going to bed for ice block. Yeah? We are going to bed for ice block, cut me ice block. They're in the class, read it. Doing their assignment. Unserious students are the ones begging for government notes. Because they will be sleeping when it was being dictated. They are begging, please give. You know what I call government, right? The notes can be long. We're begging for notes. Please, did you copy with him in class? See, you wrote everything. Whatever I was talking. Okay, let me get to it. Amen. Label. Hope I'm going to read it. Label. The word of God. So a good teacher is just a good student, and a good student is a good leader. And Jesus is a good teacher, and I showed us. Look at Luke 2. Jesus as a good leader, I mean, as a good teacher, was a good student. Luke 2 verse 44. Now, Jesus went to the synagogue with his parents where he was dedicated, and then they went back without seeing him. But it came to pass, verse 35, after 3 days, they had gone 2 days' journey, and they came back. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He was hearing them. That word to hear there is the word akuo, A-K-O-U-O. Akuo. It means to give audience, to listen keenly. So Jesus was listening to them, the doctors of the law. He was listening to them and was asking them questions. That word to ask questions there is the word eperoato. E-P-E-R-O-T-A-O. It means to inquire, to seek, to know. So Jesus was asking them questions that he would know. Therefore, Jesus' knowledge of scriptures was not because he is God. His knowledge of scripture was because he learned. He asked questions. Did you see that? He was there, they were teaching, he was hearing. He was paying attention. He was taking down notes and then asking questions. Sir, okay, you said this. Well, what about this? What about? He was asking questions. Hallelujah. In Luke 4, verse 15. Luke 4, verse 15. Let's quickly watch Luke 4, 15. Is it? Okay, verse 15. And he came to Nazareth when he had been brought up. And as his custom was, watch that, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So, Jesus has a custom of going to the synagogue. The synagogue is where the scriptures is read. So, Jesus will go to the synagogue to hear the scriptures being read and explained. Jesus had that as a custom. So, Jesus' knowledge of scriptures, not because he's God though, his knowledge of scripture was because he learnt well. Amen. He subjected himself to learning. Hallelujah. And he asked questions so as to know. So as to know. That is who a good student is. Hallelujah. That's who a good student is. Glory to God. So, a good student is a good reader, right? How do you read your scriptures? How do you read? I showed us, and I'm still going to show us today, there are three kinds of reading. Three ways of reading, right? The first is glance reading. Glance reading. You know how people go and read. Have you seen people standing by the newspaper stand and they are just, that's glance reading. You just go, just look at headlines. Have you seen people like that? Headlines. You don't even know what is inside. Probably like, this Tinubu government, you don't be arguing. Don't be arguing. One day, I was walking by one newspaper stand. Someone was arguing. Well, no, it's the best. Oh, the mess is the best. They were arguing. They were arguing. So the one that was supporting one another said, can Messi ever do like this? On the road! And I told somebody, that is madness. They were arguing. They didn't even know what is inside the contest. They just saw the best player. And they were arguing. And then, to look at the glass is to carry a book. And then you are just flipping through. They're not reading. They're looking at the heading. Some people are like that. That's how some people read their books. And you can't pass. You can't gain knowledge by reading like that. Glance reading. Glance reading. Hallelujah. But somebody opened Bible to Romans. And he said, you know, the law, the Ten Commandments, that is in Romans. How can Ten Commandments be in Romans? Say, John. How can Ten Commandments be in Roman? Well, did they fry your brain? Glory to God. Glory to God. But glance read it. It's very wrong. But some people don't read their Bible. Just glance read. It's the wrong way to read. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, Pastor Shabu shared with us one time like that. That his father used to be a king. King in their hometown. And one of their elders sat down and carried newspaper. He actually turned the newspaper upside down. You know, turned upside down. I was not saying something about Obasanjo. Or you see, but I turned upside down. And when the young guy, which is pastor, saw it, he wanted to talk. His father said, "You see, he said, how do you even know what you are reading?" You know? People are like that. You just carry a book. You just look at the table of contents. You say, I know all that is inside. What do you do? You don't know anything inside. Hallelujah. Everybody like that. I know all that is inside. No, it's wrong. Amen. Amen. You flip through the pages. The second kind of reading is called bias reading. I want to dwell on bias reading next week. Bias reading. I call it sentimental reading. Now, many people fall into this category. In fact, many times we get into the trap of bias. Thank you. Amen. Get into that trap. Many people, not us, yeah, but many people do that. Bias reading. Now, bias reading is when you approach a material with a view or a sentiment. You already have a sentiment upset, and you are going to that material to justify your sentiment. All are following you. Amen. Amen. And that doesn't pay. It's injurious. Hallelujah. Because the moment you go to a material with your own biased mind, you see some people listen to some messages, some pastors start to find fault. Remember I told Odori CRC that the scripture is not for fault finding. Right? Just like the Pharisees, they were looking for fault. So fault finding did not start today. As we were trying to find fault on what the pastor has said. It did not start today. It's been there for Pharisees. Amen. And it's in there from Genesis. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the moment you are not listening, paying attention to what the writer has said, but you are actually reading your own bias into what the writer has said, you will miss what the writer's intention is. And the goal for reading is defeated. The goal for reading is to find out what is the mind of the author when he is writing. That's the goal of reading. Hallelujah. That is the goal. Hallelujah. So you have a mindset already. And you approach Bible that way. It's in Judah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many times when I read my Bible, I don't read it as though I've taught it before. I don't read it as though I've read it in context there before. When I'm reading again, I'll read everything again. That's how I read it. Because I know Bible study is worship. Right? So I have to go through that pains again of the reading. You read that? Of the reading. Because worship. So I'll go back again. I read John 1:1. I know what John 1:1 is talking about. But I have to read it again. Read it again. Look at it well again. Look at it again. Pay attention to details again. Amen. Make sure you don't have a mindset towards what you read. A mindset. Okay, this is, I'm going there to look for. Some people go for the, go to scripture to look for things so as to justify their sentiments. Their sentiments. They have a sentiment. I want to find something that will justify. You want scripture to justify. Right? To justify something in your mind. You know what? You always find. You will find nonsense. Things to justify your brain. Amen. 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 Okay, another one people use that is very easy. Well, I need scripture to back it up. Let's back it up with scripture. Scripture is not for backing up. Let's back it up. Let's back it up. Scripture is not for back up. Maybe Kobe can back up. But scripture is not for back up. Amen. Amen, sister Ayo can back up. But scripture doesn't do back up. Amen. We're going to do something like that. Okay. Wisdom can back up. But scripture doesn't back up. Amen. Are they following me? Are they following me? Scriptures are to be explained. So you have to read it well, not back up. You want to show, you want to prove that that God is not three in one. God is one in one. Share your all. So you begin to look for it. I and my Father, we are one. We are one. We are one means this God just one God. God, you are justifying your sentiment. Amen. Amen. Jesus said it. I and my Father are one. My Father are one. What is one? One means they are one, one. One, one. So just one God. Nobody is trying to drag it with you. When you look at this, we are one. Husband and wife are one. Are they now one, one? Amen. It's the word ikad. Ikad means in union. Amen? In union. But if you want to back something up, you will now make errors. Now give voice to, or give wrong voice to what the writer, or to what the author has said. You begin to take scripture out of context. The Bible says I can do all things. Through Christ has strengthened me. They are backing up something wrong. Amen. They are going to steal and say, I can do all things. Some people said, I've heard someone that said, he's a Yahoo boy. Someone said, he's a Yahoo boy that he knows that this is tight. And that is why, reason, that is why mother used to fall. It's not a joke. He said, mother used to fall because he used to pay his tithe. When you pay his tithe, the pastor will say, the God will open the windows of heaven. Listen, open the windows of heaven. He said, he's not robbing God like some people are robbing God. He's doing his job and he's paying God. Who is God to you? Amadioha? Or Shongo? Nonsense. He's paying his tithe. Nonsense. Not only tithe. You just be thanking God. Because he, when the day EFCC will nab you, you understand. If you tell EFCC he's paying his tithe, no sir. Hallelujah. But the wrong way to read. Some other people will tell you, this interpretation is from the spirit. No, some people, when they want to say nonsense, they will tell you the spirit says. The spirit says, concerning that is false. That what you are seeing there, from the rays of the spirit, with the eye of the spirit, that word of the spirit is actually, since when did this word, not because, no. You see, you are reading from the carnal aspect. The Bible says, then they will not quote a scripture to back it up. What you see, they will not quote a scripture. He says, the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. The life I'm talking about here is the fact that the spirit is the author of the scripture. He's the God of the scripture. He was the one that put those words in the mind of the writer. So he knows the meaning and has given me the meaning. We should take it to psychiatric hospital. The word. What? You know, he sounds interesting. He says, look at it again. But this is fact. This is and Jesus wept. He said, no. God cannot weep. Sorry, no. Jesus wept today. He said, no. The wept there. From the life of the spirit means God made rain to fall. Even when I saw it, even me myself, I was shocked. But the Holy Ghost said he was the one that made John pull wet. Yet there is a figure of speech. Come on, shut up. Come down out. I'm talking nonsense. What are you saying? What are you saying? The Paul said he gave into the third heaven and saw words and saw things which are not which cannot be uttered in this realm. The spirit took me there and showed me what Paul did not see. Look at your mouth and the nonsense you are saying. The spirit took you there and showed you what Paul did not see. Amen. What is the spirit's role in interpretation of scripture? Your spirit's role in interpretation of scripture is that you should read it well. You should read it. Read it again, girl. They are reading nonsense. They are saying the spirit says. Anybody that I've always observed, anybody that comes to tell me that the spirit said in verse 4 is always nonsense they will say. Just let me hear what the spirit says. Nonsense. Make me need to make mockery of God. Come on, brother. Even Jesus Christ, see, even Jesus when he showed up, you know, Jesus did not say, that one is Moses, this is me. Remember, in John 5:39, he says, you search the scriptures. He said, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me. He says, but you not come to me that you may have life. Now, he now goes to verse 44. Open your Bible to John 5:44. Look at what he says. Okay, look. I found 1:43. He said, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. He said, there's one who accuses you. He said, Moses in whom you trust. He says, if you had believed Moses, what is it? You will believe me. He said that for he testified of me. He said, for because you've not believed Moses, how can you believe my word? You see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? Jesus didn't say, no, I know Moses was trying to write something, but leave Moses, this is me now. No, he said, Jesus did not condemn Moses' words. Rather, because he sent Moses. Amen. Who sent Moses? God did, right? So because God knows he sent Moses, he's going to stand by the man he sent. So God did not condemn Moses' words. Rather, what? He explained Moses. Say you believe Moses, you believe me. For he wrote concerning me. So that word, Moses is God. Old Testament is God. It's fabu. It's not true. Because Jesus read from Moses. So if Moses is God, Jesus is God. If the law is God, if Moses' law is God, Jesus is God. Amen. So, alright. We're going to look at Moses' law. We'll find time to look at Moses' law sometime this year. Amen. What is Moses' law about? Glory to God. What's Moses' law about? We're going to look at it. Amen. So the Ten Commandments is God. Ten Commandments are the doctrines of Scripture. Amen. I say it again. Ten Commandments are the doctrines of Scripture. It was never gone at all. Glory to God. Come on. Just let's do it. Now, the last kind of reading we have is called wholesome reading. Wholesome reading. Wholesome reading is how you read for an exam without AOC. Amen. Example of an exam you read for without AOC is what? JAMB. I can't call YM because these days they are not AOC. JAMB. JPE. Without AOC. Amen. JAMB. Did they give you AOC in JAMB? Just read everything. Amen. Read everything. The one you don't read, you just pray to God. No paper to come from. I remember when I was writing JAMB. There was one I couldn't understand. It's called Matrix. I kept praying that it shouldn't show. And it now showed. Matrix now showed. I just looked and I said, what kind of demon is this? But it showed. I will have to answer it by the grace of God. Whether I passed it or not, I don't know. But then I answered it. But I answered it last. What I did was, I left the math for the last. I like math, but I left it for the last. Oh yeah, I left it for the last. Did other things to buy time. But I looked at the math question first. Because they will give you everything together. So the math question first. I said, okay. Height L. Oh yeah. End. Let's start from the known to the unknown. Yeah. Type L, I will never forget, type L. Ah! Well, I just said it is for that man they were giving us a jam. Well, can you be giving me jam math and you're giving me differentiation and integration? Commercial student. We'll stay on that. We'll look at you later. Amen. Wholesome reading. Wholesome reading is how you read for an exam that there's no AOC. Amen. You read everything back. You read everything back. Will you read 40%? Will you read 50? You try to cover up and have an understanding of what you are reading. So, that's how wholesome reading is. You read everything. And many times, you have to read systematically. You have to read it out systematically. Chapter 1 to chapter 2, chapter 3 to chapter 4. You don't understand indices. You are not reading log reading. How? How do you want to do it? You don't understand simple diameter and radius. You are not reading cone and cylinder. How do you want to do it? You don't know the area of a circumference. You don't know the volume of a cylinder. How? You see that? So you have to take it systematically. Chapter 1, to chapter 2, to chapter 3, to chapter 4, to chapter 5. You must do it systematically. That is what wholesome reading is. Hallelujah. And in doing wholesome reading, you pay attention to what? Detail. 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 I remember one of my guys like that, in my roommate in school, was a medical student. So they've done their medical exam. It's called third MBS. He was not writing the exam. So if you have distinction, you will come and do what they call, I guess it's called Viva. You come and defend your distinction. What I told him then, like, why are you reading for distinction? When I say come and defend the distinction, let me just pass. So don't wait for distinction, because you got distinction in anatomy. Alright, if they came out for decision, he was just, he now went with all his reading. He read up to the night for the defense. Just entered there, passed. You have asked one simple question that scattered his mind. He know that he has passed already to the next level, right? Well, come and defend the distinction. Yes, I can define a bone. Define a bone. Bone. You know what it is? Like, bone. He's going to be fighting again. Hello? He missed it. He didn't pay attention to bone. Because he thought, nobody's going to ask me bone. You know, sometimes you are like that. Nobody's going to ask me bone. Imagine after I've read very well, and I'm going to get into an interview panel. You now ask me, and I'm working in the bank, define banking. You know, it could shock anybody. What is coming to your head is, CBN Governor Kabuto, NPR, you know, because that's what you spend your time reading. You didn't pay attention to the simplest details. Sometimes people miss the details. Fundamental details. And it also happens to how we read the Bible. We miss simple details that form the basis of the bigger things that we think we should know. Simple details. Hallelujah. Simple details. So, watch it. You pay attention to details. Hallelujah. Therefore, Jesus will then reprimand the Pharisees. He will question their knowledge of scriptures by asking them, have you not read? See that? The Pharisees are not you and I. The Pharisees, they know the Torah of Moses by heart. They will recite Moses from Genesis to Deuteronomy. They know it by heart. They know the 39 books. They are going to be a Pharisee. You must be quoting it. You will have eaten Moses. But Jesus now asked them in Matthew 19. They came to meet him. Can a man put away his wife for any cause? And Jesus said, have you not read? Amen? Have you not read? That's the word anaginosko. It means have you not read wholesomely. The word anaginosko means have you not read well. We'll explore that word next week. Have you not read well? So that means the Pharisees read, but they didn't pay attention to details. Watch it. They pay attention to details. In chapter 12, I guess, in Matthew 12, they came to meet Jesus. Jesus' disciples went and they were eating fruit without washing their hands. So the Pharisees came and said, your disciples are doing the things which are not lawful to be done. And Jesus now said, have you not read? And he pointed their attention to some unlawful things that they thought was unlawful, that those guys were not punished. Did you see that? He said, have you not read? That is, if you have read it well, you wouldn't miss out these details. These details. All that followed me, those that were with David, how they went into the holiest of all, and then they ate the shoebread, which was not lawful to be eaten. Did you see that? They ate it. Did you miss that detail too? Okay, see this? Making the Pharisees see that what Moses gave to them was a type and shadow. What are you following me? Type and shadow. So miss the detail. So in your reading, you mustn't miss detail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, pay attention to detail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in reading, we say you must find out what is the origin of words, and the origin of words will be within the 39 books, right? Right? And that is where you find the cultural context of words. Of words. And it will be in their world, right? Let's see something. How do they use words in their world? How? How do they write in their world? Psalm 78. Let's begin to get into what we're looking at today as we close chapter. Today, give ear to my word. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. It says, I will open my mouth in a parable. Watch it. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will offer dark things of old. With which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Is that so? The psalmist is saying, how they were taught was with what? Parables and what? Dark sayings. It's called chida. Dark sayings. Riddles. That means scriptures in their word, they write in figures. Riddles. You find riddles, you find parables. Right? Parables. Figures. Figures. So, when you read their materials, when you read scriptures, you must look out for figures. Amen. Parables. So many times, words that you find there might not be used literal. Might not be used how? Literal. Might not be used literal. So you have to look at it very well. Hallelujah. So how do you know a figure of speech in scriptures? It says, I told us, when a word or a sentence is impossible, right? When a sentence is impossible, a figure of speech is intended. Right? And the donkey was talking. That's a figure of speech. Because donkeys don't talk. You see that? The tree of life. And you're thinking, does tree give life? No. There's no tree in this world that gives life. There is no tree. Don't worry, we'll look at that word, tree. And tree of life by next week. No tree in this world gives life. So when you find tree of life, is that an impossible statement? Yes. So therefore, a figure of speech is intended. What are you following me? A figure of speech is what? Intended. What are you following that? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, you watch out for figures. Figures. An example is the use of animals. Animals. I showed up the dog here, but I'm going to take it further today. Animals. Sometimes. Animals are used, sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes. Sometimes animals are used to describe the different attitudes of men. The different attitudes of men. The different kinds of men. What are you following me? Amen. Amen. What are you following me? Okay. Different attitude of men that, or different attitude that men exhibit. Animals are used to describe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Genesis 49, now this is Jacob. Let's go to Genesis 49, everybody. Jacob, blessing his children. Genesis 39. Now, in verse 9, it goes to Judah. It says, Judah is the lion's whelp. And from a prey, my son, that has gone up. He stood down, he coaches as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? You see that? He calls his son a lion. He calls his son a lion. Does he mean Judah is a lion? No. But when he says Judah thou art the lion, now watch what he says about the lion. Verses 10. He says the scepter cannot depart from Judah. Now when he used the word scepter, he said not Lord give up from between his feet. He's saying Judah is going to be a king. Kingship will be in Judah. Did you see that? Judah is a leader. So he used the word lion to describe leadership. Hope you're following me. He used that word lion to describe leadership. Hallelujah. Amen. Kingship. Leadership. Amen. So when he said Judah is a lion, it therefore means Judah will be leader of his people. He will be the Lord giver, kingship, leader. Hope you're following me. Amen. In verse 14, he speaks about Issachar. Issachar. He said he's a strong ass, counting down between two bodies. He called his son Issachar, he called him an ass. Look at verse 17, verse 16. He called Dan. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. He shall judge. Now judge there means one that judges will judge with wisdom, right? Right? Is it wisdom? You want to judge, you need wisdom to judge, right? It's a wisdom. Now look at what he now used to describe that wisdom in judgment in verse 16. Look at verse 16 there. He now described that wisdom and now said, thou shalt judge these people as one of the tribe of Israel. 17. Thou shalt be a serpent by the way. You see that? It doesn't mean thou will be a snake. He's using serpent now in a positive light. Right? Now, he used serpent in a positive light that he is going to have wisdom to judge. You see that? Now, we're going to see when serpent is used in a negative light. Amen. We have situation where he's using a negative light. Negative light to be in Genesis chapter 3, corny. You see that? But in a positive light, he says, in judgment, he will have wisdom. Watch it. Amen. There is only in Africa that we think is churches that have wisdom. I got some people there. Yeah. I didn't see that in scripture. Churches wasn't even mentioned at all. When African states, you always find churches as the wise one. How did they get there? I don't know. Yeah. The question has been in my mind a long time. How did Africa find churches? So he's the only one that borrowed wings and went to heaven and deceived everybody. So all the birds now flew away. Now left tortoise, collected all their feathers, and the tortoise fell down and broke his back. And that's why he had a shell. How did he deceive us? Amen. 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 Okay, let's look at this. Glory to God. So, the serpent here was used for wisdom and judgment, right? Right? It's called a serpent because of wisdom and judgment. Now, take note. It's not every time you read animal that you read it as a figure, right? Not more than you long ago and you saw the donkey that Balaam rode on and say it's a figure of speech. Amen. But how would you know it's a figure? Context will let you know, right? If a statement becomes impossible, the figure of speech is intended, right? 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 Dan is not a serpent, but he's called a serpent because of what his role as a what? As a what? As a judge, right? Right? So he's going to apply wisdom. Is that it? Judah is called a lion. Why? Because he's going to be the lawgiver and a leader. Did you see that? He's going to be a leader, so he's called a lion. Lion gets using a positive life. Hope you're following me. The lion was never given it in a negative light. It was. Amen. Amen. Satan is called a roaring lion. Seeking whom to devour. So I said, no, Satan is not the lion, Jesus is the lion. That lion was used in a negative light. What you have already mean is figure of speech. Jesus is not a lion. Satan is not a lion. But they use figure of speech to describe it. Satan called a lion doesn't mean Satan is master. He's called a lion because of the way a lion roars. So he says he is like a roaring lion. Did you hear that? A man came to put fear. It doesn't say he's mysterious. What are you knowing that? Amen. Amen. So you have to look at how it is used. Very vital. Amen. Genesis 3. Genesis 3. You see, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field. Now, first of all, serpent was more subtle. Now we'll find the serpent and its function of what subtlety again. Now this time in a negative light. The other time we saw it was for wisdom in Daniel. Now this one is used subtlety, cunning. You see that? Cunning, deceit. You see that? Now serpent is not being used in a negative light. Now watch it. You say we find serpent in its function as in cunning. Now before you think this serpent here is referring to snake. So you say a snake now came down from tree. First of all, in fact, that tree you are even using is wrong. Amen. Because tree in itself, okay, I don't have it in my notes, so we're going to see it next week. Tree of life. Is there any tree that gives life? No! Some people are thinking, is it apple or mango or pawpaw or abandon? They are abandon. There's no tree that gives life at all. That means a figure of speech is intended. If there's any tree that gives life, people will be eating the tree. You know? Ah! What are we still doing? Ah! Oh, yeah. Every day we'll just be getting younger. Yeah, that's nonsense. There's no tree that gives life. Hallelujah. There's no tree that gives life. Amen. So that means you have to look at what is Moses communicating. You know that? Amen. So many times when we look at Genesis 3, we always have that intention or that imagery of a tree and a serpent and came down.
Israel, I heard God say you should not eat of that fruit.
So, everyone came up with a theory that before God destroyed the earth, or before God caught the serpent, and the serpent snakes used to talk. How? How does snake talk? They until when God now caught the snake, snakes that then stopped talking. But before the snakes used to talk, no. There was never a time in history where snakes were talking. What are you hearing this? So the snake never spoke. There was no snake. First of all, there was no snake. So delete that thing from your theatrical book. Not the theatrical book you have in your hand, because there's no, you don't have any theatrical book, but you have it in your head. Yellow book. We always have it in our head. And that tree is always going back to you. Always going back to you. And that's why I didn't like going back to you. At all. No one who said on this. Not Guava tree is fruit. There's a tree that we don't know the name of the fruit, it's fruit. Fruit tree. You always call that note. Anyway, but I like that fruit tree. I used to plug it. So now come back. No. There was no snake. Amen. Neither was is standing by any tree. Amen. So delete snake from your head, because we want to see what the snake is now. But there is no snake. Amen. So Moses is painting an imagery for you to see something. Now, not for you to see a snake, for you to see what happened in the garden. So he will not use a figure of speech to express it, because in their world, they write in figures. Okay, but in their world, they write in what? Figures. Amen. So he now says, first of all, to know what he's talking about, he opens up Genesis 1:1. Remember I told you have to read Genesis 1, 2, and 3 together. Now, he opens up Genesis 1:1 for you to see a supernatural world context. So the Bible opens up with a supernatural world context. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I told you that is not history, that is science. Heaven and earth there refers to God. Right? And man. Earth is used for man. God, heaven is used for the place where God stays, or the immaterial. So God, Moses is writing the supernatural in the natural. Amen. So he opens up with the supernatural world, heaven and earth. Watch it. Heaven and earth. Now, he shows you the earth without God, without the heaven, as empty and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. So man, the earth without God, man without God is empty and void. Now Paul will pick that up in 2 Corinthians 4 for the same. If our gospel be here, is it to them who are blind? He said, whom the God of Israel has blinded their hearts. Did you see that? And he's writing Genesis chapter number 1. He said, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Did you see that? Is that what happened in Genesis 1:3? Yes. So that means the darkness there is man without God. And that is the context of the heart, supernatural world order. Right? Are you following me? So he opens up for you to see a supernatural world, where the supernatural and the natural is in one place. So he now gets to Genesis 3 and now talks about a serpent that is subtle. Now when you talk about a serpent that is subtle, right, you already have that picture of a supernatural world. Right? Right? So that means they are made you see that the natural and the supernatural coexist. I told us that severally. Amen. Amen. I was going to pick up that study. I'm thinking, which study we're going to have on Wednesday? Where we'll continue understanding the gospel, or we are answering today's questions in our world. Questions in our world from scripture. I'm still looking out for the one to pick. Amen. Maybe we might just continue understanding the gospel. Let's round up understanding the gospel, and then we'll get back to answering today's questions from scripture. I want to answer some very vital questions today. Is AI a sin? Well, we need to answer that. Is AI a sin? Have we answered IDF? So we will look at IDF today. Is IDF a sin? Amen. We're going to answer some pertinent, important questions in our world from scripture. Hallelujah. Very vital questions. I'm going to see it from the word. Hallelujah. So I guess we should continue understanding the gospel. Then by June, mid-June, we'll do quick study on this thing before we look at the book of Colossians. And we'll start going to Genesis. I say Genesis to love Moses. I think we should do it like that. Amen. Amen. There's another study we were taking up again that we took up. That was last year. That is not answering to this question. Last time, which question did we answer? Hope you passed this thing. Right? Okay. So, the serpent there, remember, there's already a background of a supernatural world. Right? So the serpent there was referring to a supernatural being. He's referring to a supernatural being that came to Eve, not a snake. Okay, follow me. A what? A supernatural being. Now, Moses did that for you to see something. I know I've told you earlier on, and it's not wrong. I've told you before today that it's referring to people, right? Right? And it's not wrong. I'm going to show you why it's not wrong when you say it's people. Because Adam and Eve were not the only two in the world. Amen. But it's not wrong. But you have to think first in a supernatural world. Okay, following me. It's a supernatural world. So it's a supernatural being. That's here to Adam and Eve. Or to Eve, not Adam. To Eve. It's a supernatural being. Hallelujah. So, what is Moses doing? Moses is making you see that there's a supernatural being, right, that is underneath unbelief. Meaning at the underpinning of unbelief is a supernatural being. You say, when you talk about a man belief, you know, we are told it's the work of the Spirit. Right? When a man believes, it's the work of the Spirit. When you find unbelief, is the work of a supernatural being opposing the gospel in their hearts of men. Okay, follow me. And that is why I told you, you must see the gospel. We're going to deal with that during understanding the gospel. This is where I'm going. You need to see when I start talking about understanding the gospel from Wednesday. You need to see that your role in preaching the gospel is casting out demons. It is a warfare. So you must understand that man that is not saved, you are going with him with the light of God's word. But there's something at work in him, which is what? Darkness. Because he's unsaved. So he's in darkness. So you must have faith. As a preacher of the gospel, you must have a supernatural world context when you go with the gospel. Amen. Because you are going to shine light in a dark place. Okay, follow me. You are going to do what? Shine light in a dark place. And that darkness, darkness there, it doesn't just mean there is without light. Darkness means Satan is operating there. And God's word is the light through which you are coming with. Hallelujah. Amen. So the preaching of the gospel is a supernatural, it has a supernatural context to it. Amen. And you will find it in Egypt, in Moses and Pharaoh. I told you Moses and Pharaoh is a clash of gods. Right? A clash of gods. So you are going with that victory mindset and you know it's a supernatural context. So light is going to shine. So because when you go for evangelism, you must have that victory consciousness. So you go for evangelism and say they are preaching as though they are not convinced. You don't say they are not convinced. No, you know you are coming with light. Hallelujah. The man in darkness, even in the darkest darkness, is going to come out of that darkness. Because I've come with the answer. Hallelujah. Open your enemy. I've come with the answer. I have the solution to man's problem. And that solution is in Christ. Hallelujah. Open your enemy. It's in Christ. I come with life. Hallelujah. Bearing fruit of life. As I go out to preach the gospel. Open your enemy. Amen. I can never be defeated. Never. I have life. Glory to God. So, there's a supernatural concept. So, Moon is mighty, a supernatural being, and that is in charge of, or that is underneath unbelief. Is writing it. And you see, at the undertone of unbelief is a supernatural being. And he writes it for you to see it in Adam and Eve. Remember, Adam and Eve are used as what? As what? Archetype. Right? For, somebody's laughing already. He used as archetype. For what sin does to man. That's why Moses wrote Adam and Eve. He wasn't writing Adam and Eve as the first man and woman in the world. Writing Adam and Eve for you to see what sin does to man. Okay, follow me. And at the background of unbelief is a supernatural being. Not missing at all. At the background of Adam and Eve, or at the background of unbelief, is the word supernatural being. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah. And how does Moses describe it? Describe it as cunning, subtle. Cunning, subtle, negative. Isn't that negative? Subtlety, negative. Hallelujah. And what is the first activity of this supernatural being? It opposes the word of God. Opposition to God's word. That is the work of the devil. Opposition to God's word. He said, what did he say? So if you look at Genesis 3. Quickly, Genesis 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, thou shalt not surely die. Remember, God has said that the day you eat of the tree, you will die. Right? 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 So he said, you will not die. Opposition to God's word. Opposing God's word. Look at verse 4. Verse 5. For God knows that the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. This is a wrong interpretation to what God has said. Did you see that? Wrong interpretation. So, look at what Satan does. Opposes God's word, and he wrongly interprets God's word. Wrong interpretation, opposition to God's word. Mark those two. They will come alive shortly. To what God has said. Paul in 2 Corinthians. Paul. Pick Genesis 3. Look at what Paul does to Genesis chapter 3. In writing to the church at Corinth. Genesis, 2 Corinthians 11. Are you there? I'll start from verse 1. Verse 5 says, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For we have fought unto one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear. What verse 3, everybody? But I fear. Lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. What is? As the serpent did what? Beguiled Eve. Is that Genesis 3? Now look at the interpretation or how he applied it to his world. Now if not the serpent began to through his subtlety. What is? So you find corn in there and you find subtlety there. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So what happened to Eve? Simplicity that is found in Christ. Corrupt. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? Amen? Amen? That your heart may be corrupted from the simplicity that is found in Christ. What is verse 4? If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom would not preach, or ye receive another faith which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For the faulty, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. Now, what word is doing here? He's warning them about false teachers. False teachers. He's about to warn them about false teachers, and then he brings in Genesis chapter 3. What is it? So false teachers that will come with false teachings, that will come with false gospel. You see that? Amen. Are these false teachers false Christ? Are they false Christ? Amen. I thought what Christ did now. Are they anti-Christ? Are they anti-Christ? Okay, so you see anti-Christ that people are waiting for, anti-Christ, has been coming since this. Amen. Antichrist is not a person, it's a message. Amen. It's a message. Antichrist is a message. I told you. Right? Not a person. So, when the Antichrist will come, this is Antichrist, this is Antichrist, this is Antichrist. You wait to die. Amen. So, false teachers. He calls it false teachers. Right? He was referring to false teachers. And he uses the serpent. So he brings the serpent in this order. And he says, if they come another one that teaches you another gospel. What is another gospel? He uses the word heteros there. Another. Something else. And he uses it for the serpent. Making you see behind every false teaching. Behind every false teaching is the serpent. Is the supernatural being. Am I following you? Behind every false teaching is a what? Supernatural being. So, at what time did we start having false prophets and false teachers? Is it in the time of Paul or in Genesis 3? Is that the origin of false teachers? Thank you, God bless you. So, it has been from the beginning. There have always been false teachers, false prophets. Amen. That not first of all is coming tomorrow, no. They've only been there since Genesis. And Paul is saying, behind it is what? The serpent. Behind it is the serpent also in Genesis. What are following me? The serpent. That beguiled our heart. Oh, not our heart. That beguiled the heart of men and filled forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 3, 4 into 5. We'll close here. 4 into 5. Genesis 3 verse 4 into 5. He says here, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God knows that the day ye eat of it, the eyes shall be open, and ye shall know, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. That is wrong interpretation. Hope you know that. You know that is wrong interpretation. For God said, the day you eat of it, you will die. Solomon gave a further interpretation, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Hallelujah. Did you see that? He went further. And look at what God said in verse 22. Look at what God said in verse 22. So that you see how Satan beguiled people. Verse 22. He says, and the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now let's put forth his hands out and take him and take him 3 hours of his life. Satan has become like one of us. It looks as if God is saying what Satan said is true. Did you see that? Hmm? Does it sound like it? Man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Right? Does that sound alike to what Satan said? Hmm. Satan didn't lie. He's a liar. Everything he said is lie. Lying. Liar. I heard. Oh, what's that young girl? How many of you remember that video? Liar. That's how the girl went before you. You guys know what that is? That promise school girl and boy. The boy was saying, you know that these things that you get. I said, look at you, liar. Amen. Let's leave that. Amen. Wrong interpretation. Now, it looks as if what Satan said was right, but no, that wasn't right. That was actually wrong interpretation. Right? Amen. So, when he says, man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. When he says, man has become like one of us, The actual Hebrew translation of that word is not man has become like us. No. The actual Hebrew translation of that word means man has become independent of us. Do you see that? Man has become independent of us. Independent of us. Hallelujah. Independent of us. A situation that is outside how God created man. God didn't create man for man to be independent of him. God didn't create man to be independent because man can be independent of God. When a man is independent, there's nothing called independence. In as much as several countries have independence, Please, can you take this off now? There's nothing called independence. Okay, hear me. Independence used by the devil to Eve was his slave trade wearing suit. What a joke. So when he said that to him, he said to say, you'll be independent of God. And God truly said, but not become independent of God. That is the death. Death there, the day he told me, that you'll be separated from man. God said it, but Satan went further. You see that? God said it, you'll be separated from me. And man ate, man was separated from God. Man became independent of God, yet dependent on the devil. That is why Paul would say, Paul would say, we who are sometimes dead in trespasses. When a man is not born again, he's dependent on the devil. He's in the kingdom of darkness. You know that? So there's no independence anywhere. Okay, there is no independence anywhere. So how did God now make man? God made man to be dependent on him. So in Genesis 2, God will now say, let's make him and help me. You know that? And help me. And help her. And the helper there is not referring to a woman, we're going to see that from next week, but referring to God himself. Let's make man and help me. That man will be dependent on God. Amen. On God. God made man to be dependent on him. Heaven and earth. And without the heavens, the earth is dark. The earth is without form and void. The earth doesn't have a direction. That darkness was upon the surface of the deep. So without God, man is without direction. Man is under the control of the devil. It's not called independence, it's called slavery to the devil. Hope you're hearing me. So your freedom is in Christ. Hope you're following me. It's in Christ. Outside Christ, you are bound to the devil. You're under his control. Under his leadership, under his influence, you are his tool. You are, and Jesus will say this. Say the thief comes to kill. He said to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Say, but I am come that they might have life. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Life is in Christ. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hallelujah. How many of you know me? So there's nothing called independence. Independence where? Independence where? So that irony or that mindset that I don't believe there's God, I don't believe there's Satan, I'm an atheist. Atheism is a deception of the devil. I told you, atheism is 419, Satan plays scam on the mind of men. How about atheism is? Satan has scammed men to think they can be independent of God and the devil. No! It's a scam! Hallelujah! Okay, this is a scam. Because you can't sit on the fence. Either you are in Christ or you are under the control of the devil. Hallelujah! See, I'm in Christ. See, I'm in Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So man needs an helpmate right from Genesis 2. Hallelujah. Man was made to be dependent on God. We watch and we see this. So to be independent of God is to be dependent on the devil. To be in his control. That is the seed. Hallelujah. Two shortcuts. In the coming days, we'll explore our dependency in this world. We're going to explore our dependency in this world. Especially in this world where men have chosen to depend on themselves, on intellect, on technology, and they focus less on God. You know, there's technology everywhere. There's AI everywhere. Right? And that's why I say we're going to answer that question. It's AI. It's 5G. I have 5G router. It's 5G. We're going to explore all that. Hallelujah. Amen. But in this world where, you know, you could so much now depend on technology, look at the way the world is going. Technology, depend on your internet, depend on innovation, and they've now left focus on God. No. Hallelujah. No matter how technology improves, right? Which is good. Man increases in technology and in science. It's good. God wants man to grow in science. Right? Improve, discover new things. But yes, God always wants man to be dependent on him. No matter what. We're going to explore that in scripture. Hallelujah. We're going to explore that in scripture. God is our helper. Our helper. He's our Ebenezer. Hallelujah. He's our Ebenezer. Come what may. No matter what happens or what is happening in the world. Hallelujah. Information, you don't get information like this. Some of you that use AI apps and AI tools. Not just tapping anything. Papa, everything is out. No need for burning candles again. Papa, out. It's 1 second. You don't have to burn candles. The life is not easy. You have to do the few. Everything like this, like that. You don't need to go to post office to go and check your letters. I used to go to post office to check letters. These days, just USMS. I used to write letters to people in school. These days, just USMS. How far? How are you? You know, I have a friend of mine like that traveled to Canada. So you know, when we were in Nigeria, we were praying for a lot of things. So right now, we no longer pray for too many things, we just pray for rapture. Your Christian life has scattered. What's the baru? You just pray for rapture. What kind of nonsense prayer point is that? Because people think prayer is about praying for things. That's why I begin to think of nonsense. So you just pray for rapture. Because there's nothing to pray for, there's life. That's it, there's life, there's internet, everything you need is just there. No hardship, nothing. Have a good job that pays my bills, I didn't go to school, no stress, like in Nigeria, we're doing marketing work, in the bank, there's no stress. What we just do now? What we just do now? It's just we just thank God and pray for rapture. How do you think I should help that one now? Because all his life in Nigeria, he feels prayer is about bad things. So he pray for government, pray for, everything is just going well. Imagine if that happens, Nigeria becomes a place that is as organized as those countries. Many of the people that pray will no longer pray. You see that? Dependency on God will not reduce. No matter what. Hallelujah. God wants us to depend on him. And that's what we're exploring. The psalmist will say, I will look up to the hills, for whence cometh my help. Hallelujah. My help cometh from the Lord. Somebody will say, no, we no longer look up to the hills. We now look inward. The help doesn't come from the hills. The psalmist knows the scripture. Amen. The psalmist was the same person that said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. So when he says, I'll look up to the hills, it means we have to find out what is the hills in the psalmist today. That will be the hills we have to look up to today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have saw this more next week. Trust the Lord that our eyes will be further open and enlightened to these things.
Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet and thank the Lord.